like garbage right there, you know. But it was just fun, you know. It was just a good time to fellowship and to laugh, and looking back yesterday, it energized me so much, right? Because this last week, it was just, you know, everything in the news is horrible, as if, like, you know, everything is falling out of the sky, right, politically speaking, and everything in our country seemed to, like, stand still, and everyone is anxious and fearful what's going on next. And it was just a nice break to get out and work, you know, and to be a blessing to people around us. And for that moment, you know, we recognize that, hey, this is what God has called us to do as a church, right? This truly, what we were doing there, you know, shoveling dirt and helping the people who are needy in our community is the gospel in action. And that brings joy. You know, when I was younger, I learned an acronym for joy. So I just want to, you know, share that with you. Joy is what? J-O-Y, right? It stands for J-O-Y. And the way that you receive joy in your life is when you put first, others second, and then you last, right? If you put it in that order, you experience a lot of joy in your life. And in some way, that was the case yesterday, right? For those brief an hour that we were there, right? We really put Jesus first because our motivation there is not just to go and, you know, and do some good work for good work's sakes only, but we want to build relationship with these men and women over time, right? So that we could share with them the good news that there is a home for them in heaven prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? And one of the things that I've learned working with poor people in the community is that most of the time the reason why people are poor is because of not just lack of resources, but fundamentally, people are poor because of lack of relationships, right? Lacking in love, lacking in people coming around them saying, hey, you are worth it. You're a beautiful child of the living God, and I believe in you. I want to come alongside you. You have dignity. You have worth, right? Because you were created in the image and likeness of God. And because of that, we want to come alongside with you to share life with you. Not only to, you know, to give to you, but so that we could also receive from you as well. And I think that's what we're hoping to do. That's the why, right? We've been sharing with you the what, but that's the why. Why we do it is because the love of God compels us. You know, last week I shared with you, you know, about SMART goal. How many of you guys remember SMART goal, right? It's better to create SMART goal than to what have resolutions, okay? And then one of the things is that as you create this SMART goal for your life throughout the year, you're gonna find times that you're gonna hit a wall at times, like challenges that come, you know, and difficulties arises, and then so how do you accomplish those goals? And what get you to motivate yourself internally, right, to get up and continue to work on those goals? Well, I think two things that are really helpful for us that we've seen in the book of Philippians so far, and I shared briefly last week, is that as Christians, we are not lone rangers. How many of you guys know that? Right? How many of you guys are familiar with the newest Spider-Man series? You know, the Miles Morales one, you know, the Spider-Verse? Okay, and it's a different type of Spider-Man compared to the previous Spider-Man. The previous Spider-Man, he was a Lone Ranger. He did everything by himself, right? Because he was good at it, frankly. Yeah, you know, he had superpower. He's like, yeah, I can take care of it. But then in this story, we found out that he got burned out big time, right? And he was losing his marriage, his family, himself. And then there comes this young man, right, who became a Spider-Man because, of course, a bot, right? But he was one of those that didn't really, you know how to do it. Didn't know how to be a Spider-Man. He needed help. You know, one of the songs that we sang this morning is about how, you know, we can rejoice in our weakness, right? Because in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect in us. Right? And this Spider-Man, right, Miles Morales, needed the help of others, people, of other Spider-Man from the other Spider-Verse to come alongside him to fight the Batman. And I was thinking a lot about that when I was watching that movie. I'm like, that is ministry, right? That is what the church is supposed to be. Brothers and sisters coming together, right? Loving Christ, being in Christ, helping each other walk out our salvation in fear and trembling. Right? Helping each other grow closer in our relationship with Jesus and in love with one another and being a light to our community. And none of us, listen, none of us could have done that, could do that on our own. Right? I need Pastor Jesse. Pastor Jesse needs me. Right? We need Pastor Kim. Right? This morning, I came in here this morning and I was just like, oh God, I have to preach this morning. It's hard, you know? And then all of a sudden, she was practicing, you know, worship, and the presence of God just, and I was so energized by it. I was like, yeah, that's it. God is in this house, right? And it came through what? Kim's gifting. Right? And not just Kim, but the rest of the worship team here this morning as well. And so I want to share that with you because in this moment that we're living in, it seemed like there's so many things that are trying to divide us. Right? Whether it's politically, whether it could be family, it could be COVID, how you view COVID, right? It could be so many other stressors right now in life. Maybe financial hardship. Right? There's so many things. And on top of that, there's spiritual warfare. I mean, how many of you guys know the devil is not friendly to the church? Right? He's attacking us. He's attacking our family. He's attacking our marriages. So more so, we need each other. Right, to pray for one another. And we see that in the, let's go ahead and open to our text this morning in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 30. I'm going to go ahead and read it together if you can follow with me here. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 30. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambitions, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And it is my eager expectation and hope that it will not be at all a shame, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I might hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation that is from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Okay, so back to my original questions, right? When things get tough, what's going to keep you motivated in your spiritual growth, in your loving your neighbors, in loving others around you, in accomplishing the goals that you have set for yourself, right? even financially speaking or other health-wise. Right? First, we're going to need community, as I share with you. Right? Even working out, you need someone to help you, to encourage you in that. Now, secondly, what you really need is a proper motivation. You need to know the why you do something. Because without that proper motivation, you're just going to waver when things get hard, right? For me personally, I hate, you know, my goal is to run, 5 in April. I shared that last week, right? And it's not because I love running. I hate running, right? I'm not a runner, okay? Like, a mile into it, I'm like, oh, in my head, I'm like, oh, can this be over already, you know? Ah, I'm struggling, right? But something else kicks in when things get hard for me as I'm running. I'm envisioning myself soccer ball into a goal, right? Does that make sense? I'm envisioning in April when the weather is warm, I'm on the soccer field tearing it up, and people are like, yeah, Chin, come on, man. You're a beast, right? Because I've been to a soccer game in April, and I'm out of shape, and I'm just wasted, you know? 15 minutes into it, I'm like, ah, you know? And my teammates looking at me, like, Chin, come on. You let me know. Okay? And so my internal motivation is this: I want to be a good team player. I don't want to let other people down. And more so because of the love of soccer. Right? Soccer requires a lot of running. And the more you can run, the better it is. You know, the more you enjoy the game. Does that make sense? So the reason why, in summary, I run, you know, and committing to getting in shape is so that I can fully enjoy the activity that I love. Now here, when we look at what Paul is saying to us in this short letter, is that he was telling the church in Philippi, hey, listen, church, you're aware of the suffering that I am in, right? I've been in prison for the last 2 years, and I'm waiting for trial, right? And you know that maybe, you know, the judgment is going to fall against me and I might die, or maybe God is going to be gracious and let me go, right? And I'm going to continue to share the gospel for your sake and for the sake of others. I'm in this predicament, and I know that you know, and you are worried for me. You're concerned for me, church. But I want to write to you to let you, to encourage you, right, to give you a proper perspective on what is going on in my own life right now at this moment. I want you to look at my own motive. Right? And scholars say that this might be one of Paul's most letter, because he opens wide open his heart to share with the church here what is going on deep down inside of him. Now notice, Paul in this letter is not saying suffering doesn't matter. Right? He's not one of those stoic that say, I'm just going to tough it up. Right? How many of you guys know people like that? Right? They're hardened by life, you know, and then so they go, I'm iron, you know? I'm Iron Man, right? I have all these protective gear, and nothing, you know, that life can throw at me will move me. Right? No, Paul's not like that. Right? Paul actually, and the reason we know that is because at the very end, he tells them, hey, listen, you know, you have to suffer like me too. Whoa. Right? I'm an example of suffering for Christ, because I know there's going to come a time you will also have to suffer for Christ. So I understand what suffering means. And I'm not going to belittle that. Right? I get it. I get what it means when you're praying and you're sick and it seems like God is not hearing you. Right? Paul was locked up in prison. And even worse than that, in Acts chapter 16, here's a kicker. Right, that Paul was actually imprisoned in Philippi in Acts chapter 16 in a previous missionary journey. And God did a great miracle. Right, remember the story of Paul and Silas? You guys remember that? Right, in the middle of the night, they were chained up and they cry out to God in the middle of the night. And God came through and there was an earthquake and shattered their chains. Right, and they just stay there. And then the morning, the jailer came in like, oh, gosh, I'm going to die. You know, what happened here? You know, I'm going to be punished for this. Right? And they say, hey, don't worry. Right? This is God's work. And then they share the gospel with the jailer, and the jailer came to Christ. His whole entire family got baptized. And that's how partially the church at Philippi grew and grew, right? And so a lot of the Philippians sitting there thinking about Paul's suffering, they go, man, why don't you do that again for him? Right? We're praying. We're persevering and praying for Paul because Paul's saying, hey, thank you for praying for me, right? And they're sending help to him financially speaking, right? They're standing in faith with him spiritually, emotionally, and financially. Yeah, somewhere in their heart, they're like, God, please give Paul breakthrough, a miracle like we have seen you've done in the past. And maybe for 2 years now, nothing has happened. And so, seeing Paul suffer and you pray and you cry out to the Lord and yet nothing seemed to change. You know, I remember a time where my parents were going through a huge struggle in their marriage. I mean, I thought they were going to break up. My dad called me up one day and said, hey, Chin, you need to come up and pick me up. I was living in I just can't do this anymore. And I remember praying and praying for weeks and the situation didn't change. So one day I got, you know, and I'm like, God, I'm not anymore. Because you're not to me. It was so discouraging. And, you know, I didn't hear the Lord come back to me and say, oh, Chin, you're such a faithless person. But in that moment, I truly believe that God heard my cry. That was a lament deep down in my heart. In my struggle, right? And thanks be to God, you know, my mom and dad's marriage got restored, right? And it's a miracle, the work of God's grace, of God's love, of God's mercy, right? But it wasn't because I did something. It's not even because I was a good prayer warrior, right? But because God loves them, you know? And we need to know that when we're praying for people in the midst suffering in the midst of going through crisis is that God is for us in Jesus Christ. Right? And we see that here. Paul is saying, hey, listen, yes, I am in prison and I know you're praying for me. And I know that you're frustrated, that you're not seeing the result that you're expecting. But listen, I have God has shown me a perspective on this. Right? That my suffering, my current situation is by design. That God actually allowed me to go through that right now. Because every single day for the last 2 years, I've been chained up to a Roman guard, a Roman soldiers. Right? Think about the word chain there is a little short chains, right? That the Roman used to put handcuff you, right? Put you and then handcuff it to a soldiers, so that there's no way for you to escape at all. And so think about it. Every single day, Paul is being close-knit. With these Roman soldiers. The gospel. Right? The gospel. And he said, opportunity. Big deal with these imperial guard, right? Like, a little bit of Roman history, the imperial guards were like the Navy SEAL and the Secret Service. Win their votes, basically. Right? And so these imperial guards hold great amount of prestige, power, and influences in the culture of the day. Right? And Paul, if in chain, they're and that the gospel is now being shared one person at a time, because these guards are on rotation, right? So it's not just the same guard. Every day there's a new guard. Come over with them. And is it because of that the gospel is advancing? Now, it's very, very cool to see this word advancing here, because that word is a military word as well. Because Philippi is a military outpost. There's a lot of retired soldiers that live in Philippi. And so Paul intentionally used these military imagery to communicate to them so that they can understand what he's talking about. The word advanced there is an idea of a military, a group of soldiers, right? A legion going out, clearing all the obstacle ahead of the troop to advance. Remember, Rome was high that was and what you think is a you know, is besetting to suffering. Actually, God is using it as a tool, okay, that is charging or clearing obstacles, gospel to move forward in Rome. In the center of the empire. Right, so take heart, my brothers and sister, right, knowing that this is not purposeless, but that God is a God of design. You know, I remember growing up hearing the story of my great-grandfather, who was one of the first, evangelists in Vietnam. Right? And from his biography, we know that he was for preaching. And as we were looking back at the history of it, most of his imprisonment was prior to the Communist Party, right? When before communism came into Vietnam, right? And so what God has designed is that through the imprisonment that my great-grandfather experienced, a generation of new believers, because Vietnam was newly evangelized. These were new believers, like as new, as green can be, right? Just the Philippians, right? They were green Christians. They didn't understand what suffering for Christ meant, right? So my father was one of those pastors that, you know, was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. And then after my great-grandfather ministry, you know, when he retired and he died, right, communism took over Vietnam and persecution really took hold of the country. Right? Pastors were killed for preaching of the gospel. But one thing I know is that because of my great-grandfather after him that had that role model for them so that they can joyfully endure the cross, that they can proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Now, it's neat. Similar to Paul here, my great-grandfather also preached the gospel while he was in prison. And it's, there's record that he started a church in prison, actually. Isn't that cool? Right? Like, what the enemy meant for evil, God reversed it for good. Right? So, my encouragement this morning is this, is that whatever your political ideals are this morning, and whatever thinking that was going on that might be causing you anxiety in your own personal life, maybe private suffering, right, maybe financial hardship, or any other things that might be keeping you up at night, right, just from God's perspective, right, we need to step back and say, okay, Lord, in this situation, would you speak? Would you glory, God? Can you advance the message of your goodness in my own life, in my family, right? Not somewhere else, but make it personal. Because that's what Paul was doing there. Right? He wasn't just talking in theory, right, about, you know, another church elsewhere. right? But he was heart to heart with the Philippians, say, hey, listen, this is happening to me, and it will be happening to you. I expect it. I know it's kind of hard to hear that message, especially for Christians in America, because for a long time now, we've really enjoyed religious freedom. And we have the freedom to worship freely without any fear of persecutions. And so sometimes, because of that, it is really, suffering is not something that we're used to or in tune with. And that's where I think it's really helpful for us to listen to our brothers and sisters around the world. Right? People are suffering right now for the sake of the gospel. There's more persecution of Christians today in the world today than ever before in the history of humankind. Right? And we just don't hear about it. Right? Because sometimes we are in a bubble of our own. Right? And I'm not saying, that's just all the blame is on us. No. It's just that the context that we live in, and so we need to learn to be intentional about learning about what God is doing, not just in this country, but what God is doing globally. Now, here's a kicker, though. I want to end with this because I don't want you guys to feel sad about it, because all these believers around the world that are suffering right now, they're not boo-hoo. They're not like self-pity, right? They are actually rejoicing like Paul and saying, hey, our suffering is causing the gospel to multiply. And whether it's in China, right, or whether it's in India, right, that churches are getting bombed every single day in India by militant Hindus. Right? Churches in Indonesia are getting bombed by militant Islamists. Right? Churches in China are being shut down by the government on a daily basis. And yet somehow they can read the scripture, these words from Paul, and say, yes, and I will rejoice because it's for the glory of God. To help myself center my heart on what God is doing, I went online and I just did a simple Google search on the expansion of Christianity. Right? You could do that on your own, right? Just go on YouTube, put the expansion of Christianity over time. And it's phenomenal on life. Right, you see, in these video or these graph, there's a little dot, right, in Israel, and then it beginning to grow bigger, and then it got to like the year 1000, right? It was in the Mediterranean, okay, and beginning to expand a little bit to Europe, and then all of a sudden you see it beginning to shrink, right? And you go, well, what happened there? And well, because Islam was rising. Right? And there was persecution of Christians, and Christianity was beginning to getting a little bit smaller and hem in, right? And then it beginning to expand again. And then the 1500, all of a sudden, in Europe, this glooming darkness beginning to shadow over it again. And you see that's the Ottoman Empire, again, an Islamic empire that was grown so much so that even Martin Luther, 500 years ago, right? He was thinking the war is going to come to the end here. Right, as he was looking at the crisis of his day. And so then there was an urgency in Luther to say, hey, if the war is going to end, I need to be about preaching the gospel. Nothing else. Right? And he gave his life for the gospel. Okay? And he was willing to suffer for the sake of Christ with the thought that the war is going to end in the background, right? But then we know the rest of history is that, no, the gospel didn't stop there. It began to expand and expand and expand. And in the last 100 year, right, just the last 100 year, the gospel beginning to expand to Asia and to Africa, right? And now Asia and Africa are the fastest growing continents of gospel. And it all happened in the last 100 years. Because guess what? God is in control, isn't it? Because God loves his church. God cares for her, even in the midst of darkest day. Right? And perhaps, who knows, you know, some of us listening to me this morning thinking America is going to come to a dark age. Right? Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't, you know, tell you that it's not or isn't, you know. But I know this one thing. Even if it go into a dark age or dark days, God is in the midst of her. God is with us. And God has a purpose for it. And maybe the purpose that God might have for the church is to refine her and to, you know, mobilize her to preach and share the gospel with more urgency than ever before. So what about you this morning? Is there an urgency in your heart to get right with God? Is there an urgency in your heart to say, God, I want to be like Paul. I want to be a person that is completely sold out to you. Regardless of what happened in my own life, whether I suffer or not, I want to be all about sharing your love with those around me, living life in such a way that the gospel radiates out of my life with goodness, with mercy, with compassion, with liberty, and with hope and joy. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand together as the worship team come up and lead us in worship. And I really want to encourage you this morning as the worship team come and just to continue to give yourself afresh to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I want to dedicate my heart to you this morning. Lord, would you speak? Would you comfort me in the midst of my trials? And would you give me a new resolve, a new love, and a passion for your glory and for the gospel of Jesus Christ?